You're listening to the Christian's Hour. Welcome to the Christian's Hour broadcast. This month, our speaker Ben Kacharis, the lead minister with the Mountain Christian Church in Joppa, Maryland, has been speaking from the Bible's book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God who, when given an assignment to speak to some really evil people, decided to run from the assignment and from God. He boarded a ship, and then during a particularly bad storm, ended up overboard. Just when all seemed lost, God miraculously rescued Jonah by having him swallowed up by a big fish. In the midst of his misery, Jonah chose to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to the very God he was running from. In the last couple of years, enduring the COVID pandemic has been especially difficult. But just like Jonah found out, giving thanks can be a way to reset our hearts and minds, change our outlook, our attitude, our moods. This week, Ben takes a break from Jonah and shares a secret within your reach that can completely change your life. Here's Ben to explain.
I'm so glad you are joining us. Maybe it's your first time to connect with us. I'm so glad you are. I think what we share today is going to be really important and helpful for you on this important week. I'm calling this message, Thanks Anyway. Thanks Anyway. Thanks Anyway is something you say, or like when someone offers you something that you don't want. I don't drink coffee. I've never even had a drink of it. So if you offer me a cup, I'm going to say, I'm good. Thanks anyway. I don't need it or want it, right? Or sometimes you use that phrase sarcastically, like when someone might say, hey, would you like some help with your homework? And you say, not from you. Thanks anyway, right? That's kind of what this whole year feels like to a lot of us about now. We're good. We've had enough. Thanks anyway. But what if I told you that's exactly why Thanksgiving this year just might be the most important day or week or holiday of your year? And what if I told you it was a huge opportunity, and I think a need actually for us, to reset our minds and our hearts? What if I told you that there is a secret that can kind of give you the power to completely change, and that secret power is available to you? It's within your reach, and if you'll seize it, it will absolutely change your outlook. It'll change your attitude, your perspective, has the capacity to change your emotional health, the mood of your relationships, your marriage, with a different look. And it'll make you look more like a genuine Jesus follower as well. That's what I want to talk about today. So I'm going to tell you about a short little passage in a book in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. He traveled all over and he helped start a small little church in a town called Thessalonica. Today it's pronounced Thessaloniki. It's in Greece, so you know they're good people. He knew they needed some more teaching and encouragement after he left, like we all do. So he writes them a letter under the inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. And now that letter is not just words for them, but it's captured in the New Testament. It's helpful words for us. Those people, they were pretty scared about some things. One of the things they were concerned about is some of their loved ones in the church had come to Christ, but then died before Jesus had returned. And they were like, hey, what's happened to them? And what about us? What if we die? And Paul wants to write to encourage them and teach them. And he says, you know what? It's okay. It's going to be okay. And he talks about these big, huge themes that Christians just need to anchor your life on. He says, yes, you're going to have hard things. You're going to grieve when a fellow believer in Christ dies because you miss him. But he says, we don't grieve like others who have no hope. He talks about hope and this incredible power that Christ has, that when he comes back, we're going to meet him in the air, and that this life isn't all there is, and that you can encourage each other with these words because we're going to be with one another and with the Lord. And he has all these other big picture, really important, huge things to say to these people that are going through these struggles. And then he's about to sign off his letter. And he does so in a very interesting way. After all of that big stuff, that truth that we live with inside of us, he says, as a result of those big truths, there's three marks of a genuine Christ follower. See if you can pick them out. I'm going to read the verses right now. Pick out the three marks of a Christ follower. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 to 18, here's what he says. As he's summing up his letter, he said all this big stuff, then he just signs off and says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. and be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Three marks of a genuine Christian. There's joy, there's prayer, and there's thanks. There's joy because true Christians aren't the grumpy ones, okay? The mean people, the jerks, people genuinely touched by the grace of God aren't like that. They have joy. Be joyful always, even in bad times, hard times, be joyful. And there is prayer, because if you have a genuine relationship with God, there's going to be real communication. There's prayer, but the one we're focusing on today and this week, and I think we need so desperately, is that there's thanks. There's thanks in the heart. There's thanks on the lips of genuine Christ followers. Because they know that even in the darkest days, there are blessings to count. You know, when you face the sun, all the shadows fall behind you. But if you turn your back on the sun, all the shadows loom large out in front of you, don't they? And the Christian is one who faces into the light of God all the time, no matter what's going on, and gives thanks in all circumstances and all challenges. And those shadows fall behind us, and we're able to keep moving forward no matter what. Be thankful in all circumstances. If you belong to Christ, that is, be thankful always. As we've dealt with all these challenges and hardship, are you facing into the light of God's goodness and giving thanks? Or does all this have you more down than you know what to do with, living and lurking in shadows of despair? The key is in the phrase, give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, all circumstances. Very often, of course, we know, what do we usually do? What do we usually do? We tether our thanks to our circumstances. So if things are going well, of course I feel thankful. If we feel good, we look good, our friends are there and all that, we have money, we land the job, you know, we like how things are going. Of course, we tether thanks, they naturally flow out of good circumstances. But what about when you're broke, when you're sick, when you don't get the job, when things are going badly, when you're unhappy about some big thing, when you're in a pandemic, when it feels like Thanksgiving, then what? Some of us have really been challenged this year, but the power, the secret sauce to a happy, joy-filled, peace, anxiety-free life is don't tether your circumstances and your thankfulness together. Uncouple them so your thankfulness can arise out of a different place that's not tied to your circumstances, but it's tied to Christ. If you can get your thanks to come from someplace else other than what's going on around you, well, then thanks comes up from within you, and you've got something nobody can ever take away from you. And I think that's one of the most important traits of a person, like whatever you want to call this, their gratitude quotient. Like how, when you peel away all the surface stuff about who you are and what a person is like, and you go down deep, beneath polite expressions and social obligations where we say please and thank you and all that stuff. Way down deep, how genuinely grateful are you to see blessing and grace tucked and hidden in every breath, in every moment of every day, in every person? Are you a grateful person? Do you think and feel with an attitude of gratitude? Finally have an opportunity to go past our circumstantial thanks, which is really not thanks at all, but just a form of entitlement, and find our way to true, genuine thanks in all circumstances. Because when you can be truly thankful in every circumstance, well, then you've just got something that is super powerful. When it comes from Christ, not circumstances, well, you've got something nobody can take away. Where does your gratitude come from? When you feel gratitude, is it just because something good happens? Or is it grounded to something deeper? It isn't going to be affected like the stock market, moving up and down, and we never know where it's going to go and what it's going to do. When you have that, you look at the world and you have a different set of lenses. And instead of just griping or complaining or noting all the losses and frustrations and pains and problems, even in the midst of all that, you can obey this word from 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. How you doing with that? I can't help but think of Carla's sister, Lynette Rivas, whenever I read this verse, because it was her life verse. She claimed it. She talked about it. She put it on her stationery, and she lived it. Lynette died suddenly when she was 38 on the mission field. And leaving behind her husband, Alberto, and a daughter, Abigail, who was 4 at the time, and Jonathan, who was just a few months old at the time, and a classroom full of kids that she loved and taught in a school and a mission work in mid-stride, and all of us she left behind just shell-shocked. She wasn't even sick. She just was gone in a moment. And at the memorial service, I searched for words to say, because we were obviously so sad and just felt this deep loss. But like Paul said, the people gathered there were people of such deep faith that they grieved, but not like people who didn't have hope. They had that big picture Paul was talking about. The lament was real and the hearts were sad, but as we thought about her life and about our hope and the ministry and the goodness of God, even in the difficulty, well, we remembered verses like weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and all these big picture things about how Jesus is stronger than death. It changes how you go about your ordinary everyday life. And we came to realize not only was that helping us in that moment of grief, it was how Lynette lived her life. And it makes so much sense now when I look back. Her favorite verse, give thanks in all circumstances. She lived it. You know, Lynette, you would not think if you met her that she was a particularly remarkable person if you didn't know her. I mean, she wasn't even a straight A student. She was good in school. I mean, you know, she was active, but she wasn't particularly like an amazing athlete. She would never be on the cover of some fashion magazine for her fine 9-inch frame and high cheekbones. No, she was kind of short, and just, you know, she used to joke that somehow her sisters got all the hair gene, and their hair grew like weeds, and her hair took forever to even grow up past her collar. She always made fun of herself in that way, but despite anything you might say, she had this incredibly sunny disposition, full of joy, lived her life, be joyful always, praying continually and giving thanks in all circumstances. I watched her do it. It was like a testimony. It's like a legacy of her life. In all circumstances, you can give thanks, even if you're single for a long time like she was and waited till she was 33 years old to find the man that God wanted her to marry. Yeah, she did that. Give thanks even if your first teaching job in a Christian school pays wages that were barely enough to survive on. Yeah, she gave thanks in that. Give thanks even when your long-awaited pregnancy ends in miscarriage. I saw her give thanks in that. She served in a remote part of the Dominican Republic, and it was hard. The roads were rough and filled with potholes. You know, you couldn't know if you were going to do dishes or not because you never knew when you'd have electricity or Wi-Fi. The water might be contaminated. House was dusty because the windows and doors were always open with all this stuff coming in and out. Security was tough. They had this concrete block wall surrounding their house with broken glass bottles as their kind of security, trying to protect them. And they just lived with constant financial pressure as a missionary, separated by miles from her family that she loved. She hated public speaking, but her husband didn't speak English very well in those days. And so when they went to visit churches on furlough, she was the one who got up to speak. And when she did, you know what those people saw? I saw with my own eyes. They saw it too. They saw someone who was joyful always and thankful in her circumstances. And seeing that displayed over and over again, it was like her life gave a testimony to the secret power of gratitude. And at her funeral, it made it a lot easier for us to do the same, even in our grief. We gave thanks for her and her life and her ministry and our Lord. I wonder, what kind of testimony is your life giving? Thanks, when it's not tethered to your circumstances, but to Christ Himself. It's the most powerful force in the world. It reorients our minds. It kind of retrains our brains. It pulls us out of selfishness. You know, I'll be honest with you. I can get into dark places just like the rest of us. Sometimes in my mind, I get this unhealthy train of thought going. The Bible calls that the flesh. I don't think it comes from God. I can give you 100 examples. One, I sometimes might get sideways with Carla about something. I get angry and so upset, and I get hurt, you know, or something like that. But then I see my friend Don's wife, Gail, dying of cancer, and I realize, oh my goodness, I'm so thankful for my wife. And then when my head gets filled with truth, my heart gets filled with gratitude, and everything changes. And all of that ugly, fleshly, backward, toxic, negative, what about me entitlement thinking goes out the window, because gratitude flushes it and purges it like that. And gratitude gets in my head and then in my heart, and it wells up. And it makes me want to tether my gratitude to Christ. Friend, I'm begging you to do that this year. It'll beat down your selfishness and your pride and your self-pity and all that toxic stuff. When we have biblical faith, you can start by saying, yes, God, go to God, be honest. It's sad. I'm hurting. It's hard. I don't like this. I feel, say whatever you need to do, get it all out, and then pause and let your heart make the turn to the place where you say, yet I'm going to say thanks anyway. I'm going to feel and think gratitude, and then I'm going to express it. It's a horrible thing when you feel gratitude and you don't know who to express it to. But we know all good gifts come from the Father of lights. The most beautiful one is in Jesus Christ. And we express gratitude to God for who He is and for His tender mercies every day. Make that turn, and that'll make you a powerful person in the sense that you will be able to overcome so many bad circumstances. A lot of you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. World War II, she and her sister lived in these barracks in a Nazi concentration camp called Ravensbrück. And amidst that just almost unimaginable horror and the circumstances of death all around and gas chambers and starvation and forced labor and horrible things, in those terribly overcrowded conditions, they had another problem. Fleas. It's completely flea infested. Miraculously, they'd been able to smuggle this Bible into the camp, and in that Bible, they read a verse that we're talking about today. It said, give thanks in all circumstances. They also read Romans 8:28 that said, God can use anything for good. And Corrie's sister Betsy said, we need to do that. She decided if they were going to give thanks for all things, that meant thanking God for the fleas. And this was like too much for Corrie. She's like, no, I will do no such thing. But Betsy insisted. And eventually Corrie gave in, and they secretly prayed together to God, and they thanked God for their circumstances, even the fleas. Over the next several months, strangest thing happened. The guards stopped entering the barracks where the women lived, which meant that the women were no longer assaulted and abused. It also meant that they were able to do something almost unimaginable, which was to hold open Bible studies and prayer meetings in the heart of a Nazi concentration camp. And through this, countless numbers of women came to faith in Christ. Only at the end of the war, when they somehow miraculously survived, did they discover why the guards had left them alone and would not enter their barracks. You know why, don't you? It was the fleas. So yeah, James 1:17 says, give thanks to God for every good and perfect gift that comes from God. But our verse for today says, it's maybe the perfect one for us, because it says, thank Him not just for the stuff that looks good and great, but thank Him for the stuff that stinks at the time. Thank Him because you trust that He's going to work all things together for good. Thank Him for the fleas. There's a lot of fleas, a lot of stinky stuff this year. I'm telling you, your ability to give thanks in all circumstances is more important right now this year than ever. Can I just encourage you to say thanks anyway? I will give thanks anyway. God, it's not been an awesome year for me. This stinks. This hurts. But thank you anyway, because I trust you, even with fleas. Jesus one day, Luke chapter 17, says he was on his way toward Jerusalem and he got to this certain area, and as he entered this village, there were these 10 lepers who stood there crying out to him, "Jesus, Master, please, we have mercy on us. Help us, help us. We're in such desperate need." And Jesus just tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest," which was a sign that they had perhaps been cleansed and were going to be certified as able to enter back into society. Because as you know, the lepers, they were pulled apart from their family, their jobs. They were condemned to live as outcasts. It was horrible. And so they all ran to their bosses and said, I can have my job back. 9 of them ran all over like rabbits, all excited, back to their families, hugging their kids, all of that again. One of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." And the Bible says that he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet. Picture this scene. And he thanked Jesus for what he had done for him. That man was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, "Didn't I heal 10? Men, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God, to say thank you, except this one foreigner?" And Jesus said to that one, "Your faith has healed you. Stand up and go home." That's a hard story to hear, and a beautiful and an important story to hear, because Jesus healed and cleansed and gave new life to 10 people, and one came back to say thank you. Maybe the most important question any of us can answer is simply this one. Am I the 9 or am I the 1? If you want to grow in your relationship with God, say thanks to God for everything. If you want to free yourself from being small and selfish and an entitled jerk, say thank you a lot. If you want to free yourself from all the depressing news of 2020, say thank you more often. And if you don't say thank you a lot, it's not that you haven't received very much. That's what you'll tell yourself, but it's not true. It's just that you're not thinking about it. In Spanish, the word thanks is what? Anybody know? Gracias. It means grace. And it's a reminder that we have all these hidden graces that slide our way, thousands of them every day. And that we're all one of the 10. And we can be like the 9 that run away and forget about it. Or we can be like the 1 who says, "Gracias, this is grace." And when you recognize that you didn't have it coming, that you're not entitled to it, that it's a gift and it comes from God, it turns your heart and your head and you say, "Thank you." That's what we do. Sometimes we don't know what God's up to. God's in the fleas. Sometimes we just have to remember that God's in the fleas. And we have to remember that gratitude isn't tied to our circumstances. It's a choice. It's a perspective. But all 10 men were healed of leprosy. 9 were like, "It's about time." And one turned and looked for the giver of that grace gift. Be like that guy. Give thanks in all circumstances. Friend, what's your story? What's your living testimony? Because this year it's more important than ever to say thanks anyway. And aim that thanks to the giver of all good gifts. Slow down and take the time as you gather with your family. As you get in the living room or on a Zoom or maybe around the dinner table, take some time to say, what are we really thankful for? Count your blessings, sunshine, food, family, and friends. Name some of the hidden blessings, the time with one another, the things that have turned out to be for good that surprised you. And then name the fleas, the things that still seem yucky and stinky and hard, but that you're just going to trust God that He knows what He's doing so that you might give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. Give thanks to the Lord,
for he is good.
For he is good. His love endures forever. Lord,
said I know that he is,
for he is good.
Get up and give thanks,
thanks to the Lord,
and he is good.
For he is good.
Get up and give thanks,
thanks to the Lord.
Oh, I know that he is,
for he is good. And his love it endures forever.
His love will
reign forevermore.
His power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
His love will
reign forevermore.
His power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
Everybody
give thanks to the
come
Lord,
on, cause I know
he is good. For he is good.
Everybody give thanks,
thanks to the Lord. For he is good.
Everybody give thanks
to the Lord. For he is good. His love endures forever.
His love will
reign forevermore.
And his power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
And his peace will
reign forevermore.
His love will
reign
forevermore. And his power will
reign forevermore.
His grace will
reign forevermore.
His peace will
reign forevermore.
Everybody gotta
give thanks to the Lord,
cause you know he's been good.
For he is good.
If you know he's been good,
thanks to the
get up and raise your hands.
For he is good.
Give
thanks to the Lord,
cause you know he's been good.
For he is good.
Oh, you know
his love endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
His love endures forever.
One of Ben's listeners from a western state wrote him last year during COVID. The listener wrote that in his state, only 6 members of any family were allowed to gather for Thanksgiving. At the same time, the state's governor was allowing 30 to come together for a funeral. In frustration, the writer declared he had decided to invite his entire family to a funeral for his pet turkey, who would pass away on Thanksgiving Thursday. Refreshments would be provided. It can be difficult to give thanks in difficult circumstances. Thanksgiving this year can be an opportunity to reset our hearts and minds, a reset that maybe we desperately need amidst all the challenges our world is throwing at us these days, a reset that is available through the strength of God's Holy Spirit, afforded to those who are a part of God's kingdom. Our thanks to Ben Kacharis for today's message. Our thanks, too, to Acapella for today's music. If you would like a copy of today's program, you can download it online from our website at thechristianshour.org. You'll also find us at oneplace.org, iTunes.com, or googleplay.com. If you prefer a free copy of this program on CD, just give us a call. Our number is 515-770-2241. That's 515-770-2241. Please, leave your name and mailing address when you call. We'll send your free copy on CD. Our website again, thechristianshour.org. Thanks for listening today. Join us again next week as Ben concludes his series, Overboard.